Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have with us today the superintendent of the Clover School District, Dr. Sheila Quinn, who looks like she has a great big sigh of relief on her face. It's all over, isn't it?
It's all over but the work. Now yeah. The work really begins.
And for those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, you have been on a journey for the last couple of years.
I'm going to call it 3 years,
actually. 3 years, okay. To meet the growing needs of the school system, right. Which is, you know, we got more people moving into Clover. Just take a look at the houses going up. And with those people, those new rooftops come kids.
Correct.
And your projections were that you needed to do what before we get to bond referendum number two? What were you looking at for one?
For one, we were looking at an elementary school. That would be elementary school number 8 and high school number 2. And in the mix of all that, it was always to take our 9th grade campus and convert it back to a middle school, which it was previously, as no new taxes for the taxpayers on that project. So bond number one was actually going to get us 3 schools, as well as a innovation and technology center for some of our older facilities where we house our technology, special ed, and things like that.
So that was going to be roughly how much were you asking for in number one?
That bond package number one was $197 million. We had a $35 million on hand that we were going to kick in towards a lot of the projects, and the balance was $197 million.
Okay. Well, that didn't work too well. That was, to my surprise, it went down to defeat. And you were very gracious. I can remember saying, you know, we just had people who just didn't have the right information and what have you. So you regrouped. Put everybody back together and said, okay, we're going to come up with an alternative. And the alternative was basically to build a new high school?
The alternative was to cut it down to the bare minimum, and that was we need a high school, and by getting a high school number 2, we could still do the work of converting our 9th grade campus, which is adjacent to Clover High, to a middle school, and that at least solved 2 of our 3 school needs.
All right. And that bond package is?
$156 million.
$156 million, plus you're going to throw in your 35?
Plus in that $156 million, it would have been higher, but $15 million of the money we were going to contribute to the furniture, the fixtures, the technology, the things that go in a school. So we would have asked the community for a $15 million higher bond referendum, but we were able to put that money towards it so that we can get the cost as low as it could possibly be.
So $156 plus $15?
Yes, right, is the cost of that high school at this point, yes.
So you still have a little leftover in the kitty.
Well, and the leftover in the kitty money has been earmarked to Bethany Elementary School, which we're about to have a wonderful groundbreaking ceremony on December the 14th for a $5 million addition to Bethany. And then $17 million was contributed to Clover High School to get its core bigger so that we can house our 3,000-plus students that are coming right now, as well as some other things for Clover High, including an athletic facility.
Okay, so this did pass.
By the skin of our teeth, yes, sir.
You said it. I did not. You said it. I did not.
We will take it.
You'll take it. Well, a win is a win. That's
correct.
The bottom line.
That's right.
But I got to think, you know, knowing you the way I do and the quality that you have with the Clover School District, it still, I guess, kind of rubs the wrong way that people don't quite get it, what you're trying, you know, to keep going up there. And if you don't, you know, what's that old adage? The trouble with successful people is they forget the things that made them successful. And all these things that's been done in Clover over the years has made it one of the top school districts. And that can erode pretty quickly.
Well, I thank you for saying that. And honestly, I think that the nature of the division in our community is that we love our Blue Eagles and we love our one high school town. And that is true on the Lake Wylie side and the Clover side. So anytime you split a high school, it's always, I think, for the community, a very emotional thing. And so I think a lot of the division is coming from that and not wanting to have such a, you know, two towns. We want to remain one school district, but when you have two high schools, you know what happens there. It's just the rivalry start, and I think that is a lot of the reticence that we're experiencing.
Well, other communities have lived through it, Rock Hill being one of them.
Correct.
You know, back in the 70s, it was just Rock Hill High School. Then it became Northwestern High School. And then however many years ago, 10 or 12, 15 years ago, South Point High School. So we got three here.
Right.
Now Fort Mill became Fort Mill plus Nation Ford. And then it became plus Catawba Ridge, and everybody's still alive and, you know, smiling at each other.
Life goes on.
Life goes on.
Yes.
And
it will in Clover, too. We're really excited about the opportunity to do some things that are going to bring our community together and rally around, you know, this next build. This next build's going to be a lot, and we're underway as we speak.
You know, you raise an interesting point. Once this thing starts to come out of the ground, and then you're going to have to go through the I guess the ugly process of redistricting.
Right.
And that's when the fur will fly.
Right.
But I think once everybody's in there, you know, they're going to say, hey, what was the big deal?
Generally, that does happen. People get really, really excited. And I think because we're doing the hard work of making sure Clover High School is going to have some beautiful facilities that will match the facilities that we're going to have in this second high school, I think if we didn't do that, we would have some lingering animosity. And that construction is going to be hopefully done, if we can stay on our timeline, weather permitting, by next school year. So
really?
I think we'll get to live in a beautiful Clover High School so that when we have to split this, maybe it won't be quite as emotional.
Well, you're smart to do that because I know here just in the Rock Hill District and Fort Mill, they have been very, very sure that the facilities were equal. You know, if one has a nice fancy new gymnasium, we're going to upgrade the others to make sure that they are the same fancy gymnasiums. I got
it. You'll remember, I worked in Rock Hill for almost 20 years, and I do remember, and I worked at Rock Hill High, and so there was always this, if we get it, they have to have it, and that will be Clover's future going forward, is that whole question of equity and making sure the two schools have what they need, now the three middle schools, because we are converting an older middle school to this third middle school, and it has serviced us well in the past, and I think it will continue. But we are going to do some renovations to that building with some of our impact fee money, so we're really thankful to have some impact fee funds that we can make this third middle school also equal to the other two.
Well, you had a plate full of stuff, haven't you? You had a referendum you had to get through, and then you had, as you mentioned, the impact fee,
right,
which you got. Wasn't what you wanted, but you got it.
Right.
What do you think tipped the scale so that you didn't come out with the recommendation from the, you know, the experts that put this all together?
Tip the scales in terms of the impact fee?
Impact fee.
I think that, we started that process, believe it or not, back in 2018, and it took us the better part of a year and a half to really kind of shepherd that through. So there was a lot of community involvement through that process. It was all right on the heels of Fort Mill getting its full big impact fee.
Sure.
And Clover, while it's growing, it's still not quite growing at the rate of Fort Mill. So I think there was some reticence on the county to go the full impact fee for us. We are thankful that we got a portion of that, and we are going to put that money to good use. But I do think our community wants us to continue to pursue the full funding if it's possible. And so we'll be talking with the county more about whether that's the right – what the right time is. We have two more years on our study, so our current fee is good for two more years. But at some point, we'll have to do another study.
Now, that fee that was approved was how much? I forgot.
Around $4,000 for a single-family home.
And in apartments?
About 2,700. It's a little more than that. I think it's 2,795.
Okay.
I haven't looked at that number in a
now,
long time.
On the heels of all this, it's been interesting to watch what's happened in Fort Mill. You know, everybody thought, whoa, this will be the end of Fort Mill. Nobody's going to go there, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's not true. They've got well over $50 million in that account. And then in comes the county raising the question about really how can that money be used? Can it be used to pay down debt?
Right.
Or can it be used only for new schools? So you're watching this very carefully?
Watching very carefully and certainly supportive of the county, but supportive of the good work I think Fort Mill has done to make the case for their taxpayers.
And you could use it either way because you got projects, right?
We've got projects coming, absolutely. We've got an elementary school that we left on the table, not in this second bond referendum. And we do really believe with the 3,000-plus homes that are going to come on our eastern side that an elementary school is going to be very much needed. So impact fees can certainly help offset those costs for our taxpayers, and we would welcome that relief for them.
But I'm sure you're hoping you're not going to be like Chuck Epps where you're having to build a brand-new school every year.
I'm hoping we're not going to be, but you never know. York County is a great place to live. And as I've said to you every time I've been on this show, we have four really strong school districts.
We do. So we're lucky.
People around the world and around the country certainly want to come here.
Okay. So with all this being said, now you got to put your hard hat on and build this thing. And I know you've got all these plans. But the thing that everybody's well aware of is what is happening with construction projects everywhere.
Right.
Supply chain, labor. I mean, it's escalated the price of everything. So when you take a look at the 156 that you got plus the 15, those numbers were prepared with this in mind?
Those numbers were prepared fairly recently, within the last 6 months that we've been working on bond campaign two, but certainly the market has changed in that time, even in that short period of time. So, you know, we only have a few options. We've got $156 million. That's what the community gave us. We're going to have to live within that budget, plus the $15 million we have for the furniture, fixtures, and equipment. And so we're going to, you know, have to look at the scope of the project. We want a core for 2,400 and a classroom size for 2,100. Can we get that for the $156 million? And that will be to be determined as we go through these next steps.
Okay. So what are these next steps? You're going to sit down with the construction manager and say, this is what we got?
Well, so we right now what we're doing is we're working on the site. So people think, you know, two misconceptions. When we pass a bond referendum, my taxes are going to go up immediately, and a school is going to start breaking ground the very next day. It's not quite the way it works. So, you know, we will borrow the money over the next 2 to 3 years as we need it. So our taxpayers will see that gradually increase. And right now we're working through all of the things that we have to work with the county on getting the site ready, as well as with the Office of School Facilities at the state level. And then, you know, we're also going to be re-engaging with our architects that we already had on hand and looking at what can we design that would match the scope of what we wanted based on what things cost now. And so all of those decisions about, you know, what the school will look like, how big the core will be, and all of that will have to be made as we look at today's dollars.
I know you've heard this argument before when you work for the state education department. I wonder why we don't have a 2,000 student footprint program, 1,500, whatever the denomination, and we just pull one off the shelf and say, here it is, and save yourself a bunch of money.
Well, some of that is because things change over time. What it looks like to educate a student today and the kinds of collaborative spaces you need or other spaces you need, they evolve over time. But there are some basic footprints out there. It's just that every single district has what they believe is their priority or their program. So our class size ratios might be very different from Olympic High School in Charlotte Mech or Audrey Kale. They may have a different class size ratio that's important to their community. So every school board wants to reserve the right to put their program in the way that they see fit.
The good news about all this is you have the land. The land was purchased years ago. You
yes.
got it. So you don't have to fool with that.
That's right.
So this process that you're starting with right now, bottom line is, when's a shovel going to go in the ground?
So, like I said, we've got a groundbreaking at Bethany next week. So
right.
we're going to do some shoveling ground next week for that school. The one after that will be Clover High School. And that will be sometime in the spring of this year, maybe late winter. Can't really say yet when Daimler's going to have an actual shovel because it will depend on some work we've got to do with the Corps of Army Engineers on our wetland study, as well as some other permitting that we've got to do with the county. So I would tell you it's probably going to be a good 4, 5, 6 months before, you know, we're really moving dirt. Maybe not that long. I think, you know, our CM, our construction manager, has a really aggressive timeline. High schools are they take the longest to build.
Now, so, you referenced the word Daimler, so you better explain to listeners what we're talking about.
Yes, so the property, we call it the Daimler property because that's what it was originally named, and it's part of a road, the Daimler Road, that's there. And so we've always just referred to it as the Daimler
Road. Right property. Off 274.
Right off 274, right across from Windswept Cove or Big Allison, if you know that area.
You cannot miss it.
Yeah.
You go down the road and... You go down a road and the road ends.
Yes, that's right. It connects 49 to 274. But it's a big, a wide road, four lane. It's going to be a great place of going against traffic in the morning. You know, that corridor up 274 to 49 is packed in the morning. So this traffic will be going the opposite direction. That helps with our student drivers. It helps with our buses.
Wow. Okay, so you're going to move dirt maybe in 6 months.
Yeah.
How long is it going to take to build this thing?
3 years, 36 months is what it takes. And that's from nothing, you know, starting from ground zero, designing it, getting the site up and running and prepared, and then actually constructing it. So it's not a short project.
And I'm not familiar with the size, let's say, of Catawba Ridge. Is that about the same size?
Just about exactly the same size, yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, that is a beautiful campus.
Very
Catawba beautiful.
Catawba
Ridge.
Very beautiful.
Matter of fact, they... When I was up there the very first time, first football season, I don't know what I was doing up there, but I was assigned to do something. I went over to the concession stand. And the concession stand at the Catawba Ridge High School football field, I felt like I was inside a QT.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had everything in there. It was amazing.
It's going to be fun to get to design and to take advantage of, which to your other question about why isn't there just a footprint, just to be able to take advantages of improvements that people have made over time and how the service is delivered.
So there will be athletic facilities as well at this high school?
There will be athletic facilities, but we added no new money on top of the 156 to build the actual stadium. What the board said is we want to build a stadium, but we don't want to put a second question on the referendum because we don't want to give the community any reason to not support this. And so we have 156. We will carry that as far as we can to actually include a stadium and potentially look at other funding sources along the way to finish it out over time. We'll share a stadium as long as we need to do that, if that's the case. But it will have all of the other athletic facilities and, of course, a big practice field that maybe doesn't include big bleachers yet if we can't afford to do that.
Then, of course, there's the other side of this is once you build this thing, you got to operate it. And I can remember sitting here with Chuck Epps when they had built, I forgot the name of the school, but they built it. It was wide open, but they didn't have enough dollars to open it. So it sat there for a year.
Right.
So are you already planning for that?
Yeah, we are really looking about how we incrementally build our staff over time so that we can have a, you know, with high school, you can't just do a pure split because there's some duplicative positions that you have to hire. But we are going to try to be smart over the next 3 years and look at our staffing in a strategic way so we can split it as much as possible. The other thing is that this is where growth kind of helps you. You know, as more houses get built and more people have more cars and more boats and more things, that adds to our operating budget. We're really hoping the county is looking at some good commercial properties and businesses to attract to our area because that helps our operating budget.
Sure does.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice if Duke would do more work at the good old nuclear
center. We love Duke Energy. We love them, and we hope they do all kinds of wonderful projects.
Because at one time, that was the majority of your budget, was it not?
It's still the majority.
It is.
The majority of our operational and our budget. Yeah, it is.
All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right. She's been here enough time. She knows what we're about to do. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2 between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. The magical formula at the count of three. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Here's another great catering idea from Charlie Ruffalo at Substation 2.
Well, we have the giant party subs. We make them any way you want, usually like our number 19. They're delicious and will feed a crowd.
Whatever your catering needs, Substation 2 has lots of options. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Now open. the new Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, featuring personalized and comprehensive obstetrical services, 24/7 emergency care, and skilled surgeons who know the importance of getting to know you and your family. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, providing care for the Fort Mill community by your local community. Care that feels like home, close to home. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com/Fort Mill.
Founders knows you must use your best money-saving strategies to reach your full financial potential, including finding the best interest rates on your credit cards. In our current economy, you've got to make every dollar count. That's why Founders offers low balance transfer rates on all their credit cards. Get the most out of your credit card. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc to apply and save today. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required. Federally insured by NCUA.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Want something for your next catering that people will really love? Then talk to Charlie Ruffalo at Substation 2.
We have giant party subs made on this beautiful Italian loaf of bread, piled high with 6 meats and cheese, and gardened with any one of our 8 delicious fresh toppings.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Sheila Quinn is with us, being reunited with one of her graduates from Clover High School, who's now in school over here at Winthrop University. Don't worry, I'm not going to put you on the air. You can run away. Bye-bye. I don't know what it is about this microphone thing. They get all scared. So, Dr. Quinn, as if you don't have enough on your plate, you've taken on a new responsibility with a state committee of sorts. Tell me about this.
So, kudos to Governor McMaster. He has decided to put together a task force to look at teacher pay, teacher recruitment, and teacher retention as a comprehensive look. And he has involved the House and the Senate education chairs, Senator Hembree, Rita Allison on the House side, as well as the House Ways and Means and Senate Finance as a part of this big committee. And I'm one of the superintendents. There are two superintendents on the committee. I'm actually Harvey Peeler's appointee, so I want to thank Senator Peeler for the opportunity to be involved in this really, really critical, important thing.
Boy, oh boy, I'm glad to hear that they're doing something, because, my gosh, this is a problem. It's a huge problem. Not only in South Carolina, but in other places. Sorry, rather than me pontificate about this, as I've done a number of times on this show, let's take these one at a time. If you had the magic wand and you were before the legislature and they actually listened to you,
right,
and paid attention to you, which would be a big if, what do you think the retention issue is all about?
Okay, starting with retention. You know, they're not making a lot of new teachers who want to come into the pipeline who are majoring in education. We got to fix that, and that's another question. But on the retention side, we have to do more to keep the people who are currently in the system longer, because we're not going to solve it on the front end totally. It's going to have to be a front-end solution as well as back-end. So one of the things that I think is going to be critically important in that is that we have a 22-step scale, and yet we know teachers have to work at least 30 years. In fact, they have to work their age plus 30 years to equal 90. So we really need that scale to be extended at least 30 steps so that there is an ability to continue to get a pay raise and there's an incentive to stay in education longer. So I think that's one of the big, big things that I think would help. And then I think the other thing is we say in South Carolina we have reciprocity with other states, but there is a lot of red tape when you're moving here from New York or moving here from California to actually get certified in South Carolina. We don't just have a, if you were certified there, that's good enough for us. You can be certified here. And because people have to jump through hoops to do that, it delays us being able to get them in the classroom. It also delays them from wanting to come to our state. So on the retention side, I think those are two things that, we've got to work on. I also think we've got to look at our teachers' working conditions. We have, in Clover, we had a group of us that decided this summer, if we wanted to have 100% retention, what would it look like? And what would we have to change? And the number one thing our teacher said is we need more time. We need time during our day to do the little things that allow us to be prepared, because when we get home at night, we're exhausted. We're trying to take care of our own families, and then we've got to kick back in and get ready for the next day. So how we protect their time during the day, make sure they have a lunch unencumbered, maybe don't have to do so much duty during the day when they could be doing some things in their classroom. Those are things that are really important to our teachers.
Well, I can see how they'd be exhausted. I mean, being in the classroom with, I don't care what their ages are, for most of the day, that would wear you out.
Well, my daughter's a first-year teacher in another district. She didn't decide to come home, but she has 23 kids in a class, and in our standard, that's probably not bad, but she's overwhelmed with 23 kids in a class meeting all of their needs, and so I think we've got to really look at that class size as well.
I mean, it's a pretty simple analogy. Just think in your own family what it takes to raise two kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Two kids. If you had a stay-at-home parent,
right,
you had two kids that weren't yet in school, and the amount of time you had to take with them to get everything addressed, multiply that times 10.
Yes. It's a job. It's a big job. And fortunately, our teachers love their children, and that's part of their heart in it, but it is a very big job.
All right. The other one, I think, is almost going to be self-explanatory, and that is, how are we going to get them here?
Yeah.
The teacher pay issue.
Well, a couple things that, I'm going to propose, and I'm sure other people, these are probably not original thoughts, but I think that we've got a lot of one-time money and we've got some recurring money in our budget right now, maybe more than we've ever had. Last year might be the top, but we're pretty close to that projected amount this year. I think we've got to put more in on the front end on teacher scholarships, because quite frankly, when teachers come out with a lot of debt into a market where they don't make as much as other professions, you've got a double problem. So if teachers could be recruited by not having any debt when they leave, that would help. And the other thing, again, this was what my daughter told me. She said, Mom, I look at all my friends who are in business and in engineering, and they're all doing their internships and their senior year, and I'm going out to do mine. I'm going to have to pay to do mine, because I'm going to have to buy all kinds of materials and commit my time at night. And they're getting paid to do their internships. Why aren't teachers internships paid? And so little things like that communicate a level of professionalism about our profession that I think would recruit some of these young people.
Well, you also have to deal with the big reality of you're competing with the private sector.
That's right.
And they're gobbling up college graduates, you know, no matter what their major is, to come work in the private sector. And the compensation there is a whole lot different than it is for teachers. So, once again, here I am saying this. I don't understand why we can't take this opportunity, if we've got these dollars available, and we had them last year, to really look at changing the whole paradigm of how we compensate teachers. I mean, we think it's a big deal to go to $40,000. I'm not sneezing at $40,000. But when the private sector guy over there is offering $60,000,
right,
for you to go work a gallon of wine or something, how do you compete with that?
Yeah, that is the real issue. And it is going to take some new ideas about how we generate the funding. You know, is there a possibility, as you and I were talking before the show today, of a half a penny sales tax or something that when we had EIA several years ago, when Governor Riley at the time put in that penny to put in that money for education, that has served us well. And maybe it's time to look at something like that again, to really look at the compensation package for teachers.
Well, I'd love to see us explore it right here in New York County. Another pennies for progress, and this time it'd be pennies for schools, you know, mm-hmm, that kind of thing. Dr. Quinn, we've run out of time. Always a pleasure to have you down here. Thank
Always
you for being here.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
And that's
going to
wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Mille Lacs here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice. For conservative investors, you can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, one more time. What do we do here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop? Ray Hoffman, you can help us with this. Are you ready? I know you know the magic words. All right, here we go. At the count of three, everybody's going to bellow this out as loud as they can as soon as they get the cue card up. Here we go. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.